This is Age of Treason Radio.
First thing I remember was asking Papa why. For there were many things I didn't know.
On the White Network.
By the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother's gone. You better learn your past, you better learn your young, for someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel. The title of this installment is Jews and Organ Transplants Part 3. I really don't want to talk about this subject anymore. I'm kind of tired of it, and I'm going to talk about it one more time because I want to fill in some gaps from my previous commentary, and because I did discover, since the last time I talked, some good resources that, and this is part of the reason why I don't think I need to talk too much more about it, is there are other people that have covered this issue, and it is an ongoing issue. It's a hot topic right now that other people are doing a good job of covering. So I'm just going to add my own thoughts that other people haven't expressed and try to keep it to that, and I'd like to move on to something new soon here. So, but bear with me through this one last installment on it. I mentioned Moldova previously, and that's something that keeps coming up over and over. And I thought to myself, why Moldova? What's the connection between Jews and Moldova? Well, I'll provide some links, but basically Jews have a history of living in Moldova. And I think that's relevant, and I haven't seen anyone else make this point, because, you know, this organ trade, the organ trafficking, it's not just economic. It's, you know, the best match for a person who's looking for an organ is a combination of two main factors, the money and the fitness of the organ, the compatibility of the organ. And that's a racial thing. And so, you know, Jews going to Moldova specifically to get organs is not just because Moldova is the poorest or one of the poorest places in Europe. It's because it's European, and specifically a place in Europe where Jews have left a genetic signature. There are still some Jews there, but in the past there was a previous Jewish population, and no doubt they mixed to a certain extent with the native indigenous European population there. So I wanted to make that point, and the point that it's a mixture. Although most of the it's a mixture of factors that motivates the choice of where to go for organs. Most of the sources you'll read talk about the economic factors, especially Nancy Shepherd Hughes focuses on that, and they play down or ignore entirely the racial compatibility issue. Another point I'd like to correct from my previous statement: I talked about Shanda Fortegoyim. And I expressed how, you know, my understanding of that was that it was like an embarrassment. And I think that that's wrong. I think that that's actually more of a misunderstanding. It's the way that my brain processes it. And I think the typical European probably thinks of it that way. But that's the way we make sense of it. It's from a Jewish point of view, if I can try and explain it more, I think it's more of it's a reflection of their sensitivity to collective exposure, collective responsibility for wrongdoing, and a collective vulnerability. And it's a defensive reaction, really. It's code. Shanda Fortegoyim is code for, oh no, this could be bad for us. It's not really embarrassment so much as it is, sort of an alarm, for their, tribe. And it's an expression of their group solidarity, unconsciously, I suppose, for the most part. The most extreme expression of it is to transfer, well, you know, in general, it's the reaction to this defensiveness is to make excuses and try to transfer blame elsewhere. And the most extreme example of that is this blaming it all on anti-Semitism. You know, whatever the Jews do wrong, if somebody calls attention to it or calls them on it or accuses them of doing something wrong, the most extreme and probably the most common reaction of Jews is to just blame anti-Semitism. It's some mental disorder or irrational hatred for Jews that's the real problem. Let's see. There's a report here from in Haaretz about from 2010 about Israeli suspects running a Ukrainian organ trafficking ring. And this is completely separate from anything I've talked about previously and some of the other stories that I'm going to talk about in this installment. But what I thought was most interesting about this, I went into the comments on this article and found somebody had written, "Israelis are going to have to do something about this. These stories are more damaging for Israel than 1,000 rockets." And that's interesting because this person wasn't just talking about this one story from Ukraine, but instead the pattern of Israelis and Jews being involved in this organ trafficking stuff. And if you read this thing, you know, on the surface, it seems like, oh, no, here's a Jew with a conscience who feels bad about what Israelis are doing. It makes them look bad. But again, as I just said about the embarrassment thing, it's not. If you read it again, they see it in military terms, literally, that this is just another facet of their war on the Gentiles or their war with the rest of the world. You know, for Jews to prevail, they have to treat this topic seriously. They have to do something. Doesn't mean, you know, take the people accused of wrongdoing and throw them in jail. That's not, I don't think that's what the call is for in that comment. One of the articles that is really key in raising awareness of this Jewish-Israeli organ trafficking was an article that appeared in 2009 in a Swedish paper called Aftonbladet. And there was a big controversy about that back and forth, and anti-Semitism is how the Jews, for the most part, responded to it. They accused the author and the Swedish media and the Swedish government of all being raving anti-Semites. But there was a good section near the beginning of the article that let me just read a section here from that article. Israel has repeatedly been under fire for its unethical ways of dealing with organs and transplants. France was among the countries that ceased organ collaboration with Israel in the 90s. Jerusalem Post wrote that the rest of the European countries are expected to follow France's example shortly. I don't know whatever came of that. Half of the kidneys transplanted to Israelis since the beginning of the 2000s have been bought illegally from Turkey, Eastern Europe, or Latin America. Israeli health officials have full knowledge of the business but do nothing to stop it. And that's a theme that I've seen in many of the references that, you know, this involves not only Jewish doctors and Jewish brokers and for some part Jewish recipients, but it also is aided and abetted by elements of the Jewish of the Israeli government. Let's see. Most of the rest of that Aftonbladet article is based on Palestinian claims of that are a little less substantiated. The rumors or stories from Palestinians of kidnapping and disappearances. But what's telling is that the Jewish-Israeli reaction to this article was to go after the Swedes, not go after the Palestinians. They accused the Swedes of anti-Semitism and in fact, accused them of blood libel. I have more to say about that, but I can wait a bit on that. There's evidence that the claims, though, these general claims of organ trafficking and unethical ways of dealing with organs and transplants is real. There are other stories I'll link to. One in particular mentions that a Dr. Yehuda Hiss, that was the former head of a forensic institute near Tel Aviv, actually gave an interview to Nancy Shepherd Hughes. And in response to this big controversy over the Aftonbladet article, she, even though the interview was given in 2000, she released the interview information from the interview that this doctor had revealed that there had been organs harvested without the consent of the people if they were being taken from. Now, organs harvested without consent gets at, that's a euphemism. This is the kind of dancing around the issue. Instead of just calling it theft, they call it taking without consent. It's a way of trying to minimize what's actually going on here. You know, I talked previously about the different ways that different countries have dealt with organ transplants, the opt-in plan that I think most use, and that's the United States thing where you have to explicitly say you want to donate your organs, the opt-out, which is, you know, by default, everyone is openly, organs are taken, and that seems rarer, but you have to explicitly say you don't want your organs to be taken. And I talked about the Israeli innovation, the new thing that they were going to say that would give the new law that would give preference to people who had signed up as donors. But, you know, in this case, here's a fourth way of doing it, which is just take the organs and don't tell anybody about it. It's, you know, don't ask, don't tell, without consent. A theft, really. And with the knowledge of the government, or at least people in positions of authority within the government. So there's Nancy Shepherd Hughes, as I mentioned earlier, comes up over and over and over again in this Jewish-Israeli organ trafficking. It's, you know, it's a progression from trade to trafficking to theft. And you wonder how much, when they call it just trade, how much of that is really trafficking? And when they call it trafficking, how much of that is really theft? So, you know, this the response, as I said, I'll provide two links to kind of typical Jewish responses to this Aftonbladet article, one in Commentary Magazine, another in Haaretz, that talks about, they just want to talk about the crime against Jews, you know, of talking about Jews and Israelis being involved in this organ theft, that the real crime from the Jewish point of view is that against the Jews. It's criticizing the Jews. This is nothing but a modern version of medieval Jewish blood libel myths. Whereas in the past, the object of these hate-inspired canards were helpless diaspora Jewish communities. Now it's the state of Israel. Poor Israel. The other article from Haaretz, a new old and ugly spirit. The latest, most heinous example of an increasingly familiar phenomena, classic anti-Semitic tropes and expressions of open hostility to Jews turning up in statements by members of the European liberal left. You know, one interesting thing about this, I already mentioned that, you know, they don't attack the Palestinians, who are the source of the most vague speculations or the loosest accusations against the Israelis. They attack the Swedes and Europeans. Here you can see it's broadened to this, you know, it's just a new form of an old European thing. And it's... the common factor here, as I've pointed out before when I've talked about blood libel in other places, is the Jews. They're the common factor in all of this blood libel, this blood libel narrative of theirs. They tell a story about how all of these different people in different times and different places, and here as widely, you know, far-flung as today, Palestinians versus Europeans from the Middle Ages, it's bizarre what they want to believe, what they believe themselves, and what they expect everyone else to believe, the story that they tell about this. A very good source, and I'll, you know, I want to hit the high points of this, but this is a really good article to read from beginning to end. In fact, it's based in large part on the work of Shepherd Hughes, but it's better than the articles that I've seen by Shepherd Hughes herself. It's better than the other article that I cited alongside it from Der Spiegel, too, in that it's more comprehensive. It gives a pretty broad time and a pretty broad description of the various aspects of this organ trade, trafficking, theft. And it's an article written by Allison Weir and published in November 2009, so just after the Aftonbladet article. And it's titled Israeli Organ Trafficking and Theft from Moldova to Palestine. And the only criticism I have here is that Allison Weir is a leftist. She's an American. She comes at it from an anti-racist point of view. So she's criticizing Israelis for basically being racists and supremacists and, you know, abusing the poor Palestinians, which she has in common with that Aftonbladet article, too. But she's also – this article of hers is pretty factual and doesn't mince words. It doesn't dance around and add a bunch of bells and whistles to the thing like Nancy Shepherd Hughes did. And she also lays it out in a very clear, easy-to-understand, just-the-facts-ma'am type of way, as opposed to, say, the Der Spiegel article, which I complained about, the way they jumbled up the story and mixed together seemingly unrelated things and then took things that were related and split them up so that they were more difficult to understand. She doesn't do that. Allison Weir lays it out pretty clearly. She mentions the anti-Semitism response of the Israelis, but she says the fact is, however, that Israeli organ harvesting, sometimes with Israeli governmental funding and with the participation of high Israeli officials, prominent physicians, Israeli ministries, has been documented for many years. So she doesn't back away just because she's accused of anti-Semitism. I mentioned she's a large part of what she writes is based on Shepherd Hughes's testimony, which I hadn't seen. I didn't go look for. Maybe I will and I'll add that to the post. But apparently Shepherd Hughes gave extensive testimony before the United States Congress back in 2001. And she refers to that. Let me see if I can find out where I've highlighted that. It's a very long article. This is, by the way, this substantiates in this article the Wikipedia thing that I mentioned that said citation required or needed for something that Shepherd Hughes had said about Israel being at the center of all this. In fact, what she said is Israel is at the top. It has tentacles reaching out worldwide. And this apparently was a verbal thing. It was at a New York PBS channel forum. So that's probably why there's no link to it on the internet. This is also where she claimed that the motives for it were greed and revenge, restitution, reparation for the Holocaust. In other words, this article makes it clear, even by citing Shepherd Hughes herself, that Shepherd Hughes has been saying that this is an Israeli Jewish thing, or at least an Israeli thing, for a long time, and saying it pretty clearly. She talks in this article about transplant tourism and how now I think this is actually Allison Weir's words, that Israel is unique in several significant ways. She distinguishes the transplant tourism where rich Israelis go to another country to get a transplant from some poor foreigner. She says it's different from those other countries in several ways. First, that the Israelis engage in this at an extraordinarily high rate. Second, that they have the lowest donor rate in the world, and she quotes them as having one-fifth that of Europe. Just one of the many ways that Jews are different than Europeans. That the percentage of organs donated amongst Jews is the lowest of all ethnic groups, according to YNET. And the third reason she cites is that the Israeli government has enabled the practice. Not only through people in government being involved or looking the other way or helping in some way, but by the government literally subsidizing, paying, reimbursing Israelis for these junkets that they take overseas to get their organs. Let's see. Yeah, it mentions covers Shepherd Hughes talking about Moldova and mentioning that it's the poorest country in Europe. But it also mentions in the same sentence that it's also the homeland of Israeli Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman. So there is that's sort of an indirect way of referring to the Jewish genetic footprint there. talks about hundreds of Israelis have created a production line that starts in the villages of Moldova and ends in Israel. Talks about Brazilians, how they sold their kidneys to a trafficking ring headed by Israelis, with Israeli citizens receiving almost all the organs and the Israeli government providing most of the funding. That goes quite a bit farther than when I previously talked about Shepard Hughes' article about the Lucille, the New Yorker, going to Brazil to get an organ. Let's see. Talks about how Shepard Hughes testified that the trafficking in human organs, at least one aspect of it, having to do with this guy, Zaki Shapira, another Israeli, that I haven't even mentioned before, because I hadn't run into, but that this had been going on for 12 years before 2001. It's a long-standing problem. Let's see. There's a section that Weir actually titles Organ Theft, and this is what really made the light bulb go on in my head, that this progression from trade to trafficking to theft. She calls it flat out organ theft. And she mentions specifically some examples of how before the organ trafficking moved overseas, that there were reports of Jews in Israel actually exploiting Palestinians. They took developmentally challenged, mentally ill Palestinians and got them to agree to have a kidney removed for payment, and then they refused to pay them. And that was a scandal back in 2007. And she mentions here in the same section Levi Rosenbaum, the guy who was arrested about a month before the Aftonbladet article was written, the Brooklyn rabbi or whatever he was, that member of the Orthodox Jewish community in Brooklyn, and how he used to threaten people who were having second thoughts by simulating firing a gun at their head. And she also mentions in this section how there was a State Department counter-misinformation director named Todd Leventhal who had characterized organ trafficking as an urban, a quote-unquote urban legend, and he stated how it would be impossible to successfully conceal a clandestine organ trafficking ring. Now, he said all of this, of course, before the arrests were made, the bid rig arrests. Leventhal called such reports irresponsible and totally unsubstantiated. Well, they've been substantiated now, and now the response is from Jews, that's anti-Semitism. So that's how that works. You know, we have the fox watching the chicken coop, even in the U.S. There's a point here I want to mention, too. I want to pull out that Shepard Hughes mentioned that before they moved their operations overseas, that this guy Zaki Shapira had located kidney sellers amongst strapped Palestinian workers in Gaza and the West Bank. So not just people who were developmentally challenged that were threatened afterward not to be paid. These are people, like, I assume, that actually were paid afterward. But the consequences of giving up your organ are still there, even if you do get paid for it. But then they were pressured. Once that was brought to light, they moved their operations overseas, and it became an international thing and added cover to it. It was sort of scattered, the old 23 Skidoo aspect to that. Now, here, there's a section here I want to read. This is where we're tries to sort of minimize or give some motive to what the Israelis are doing and minimize it at the same time. She says a small, very small, but significant minority of Israelis, including military officers and governmental ministers, hold extremist supremacist views relevant to organ extraction. And then she quotes a Jewish leader of a Lubavitch sect of Judaism that if a Jew needs a liver, can you take the liver of an innocent non-Jew passing by to save him? The Torah would probably permit that. And then the same rabbi elaborated, Jewish life has infinite value. There is something infinitely more holy and unique about Jewish life than non-Jewish life. So that's tells you where weir is coming from. Although I kind of find it shocking too, and I think most white people would. And these are the sort of things you find in Orthodox Judaism. And the telling thing is about that even the Jews who aren't Orthodox Jews and aren't religious don't rat these people out. They don't denounce them. They don't say, hey, you shouldn't be in the military. You shouldn't be in government, like what happens in the United States or in Europe when a racist or a supremacist. I mean, all you have to do is be in the Tea Party to be accused of white supremacism in the United States. All you have to do is be for smaller government, and they can sniff you out that you're a white supremacist. Shepherd Hughes mentions the danger here of, and she says that she was actually told by one guilt-ridden doctor that he had chemically induced the signs of brain death in dying patients to get the organs. And that this happens especially with people who don't have anyone, any family members watching out over them, you know, people who are poor and have no family. That there's links attached to this article. It's a great article. Please read it from beginning to end. Let's see here. Oh, some news on Yusuf Sanmez, the Turkish doctor, Dr. Frankenstein, in that case I talked about in the last installment. He was actually indicted in a Turkish court, an Istanbul court, in 2011 for charges adding up to 171 years in prison. And it says in the article that I'll link that the organs were being sold in Israel. Another article about the same topic a little later in actually it's earlier this year mentions that there was another doctor, Kenan Demirkol, another Turkish doctor, quote-unquote Turkish. It mentions that Sanmez was actually arrested in 2011, but that he had absconded then to South Africa and then moved on to another unnamed African country, and apparently today he's still in business. He set up a clinic for organ transplant in Africa. The latest news just this month is that there are some convictions coming down, but in Kosovo, where there's a trial going on, but the two key members, this Masha Harel, the Israeli, and Yusuf Sonmez, aren't there. They're not on trial because they didn't show up. There's another good series of sources on organ donation or organ trade, trafficking, and theft at a site called Unity of Nobility, which is a news for white Europeans site. And they've had a series of good articles on that, mostly linking mainstream articles with just a little sentence or two of commentary. One in particular is about fighting the new blood libel, and it's a link to a Jewish Journal article titled Fighting the New Blood Libel. And that's the way the Jews see this. They see this as the new blood libel. And I think this article in particular talks about how they made a joke out of it. They attack the Swedes by making an ABBA video. And that's how they deal with criticism. They mock you for criticizing them.